Somar Mix.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to the Chewy Podcast. I am Ooh. I am your main host. And today, as you can see, Quez is not in town, nor Chew. But we got Lalo Cortez in the podcast with us. If you don't know who Lalo is, man, you better drive out to Edinburgh and go check out his game shop, man. Great, great game shop.
Crystar Gaming, 521 South Klausner Boulevard.
There's the plug right there. There's the plug. There's the plug. But it's not all about Lalo today, guys. It's not all about Lalo today. It's all about me. No, I'm just joking. We have a special guest with us today. If you guys are familiar with the Sonic Hedgehog series, you know, there is one character that I kind of liked quite a bit when it first came out. Only reason, because he was different.
Unique.
And if you don't know who this is, man, it's Silver Sonic, and the guest person with this, Pete Capella on the Chewy Podcast, the voice of Silver Sonic. Oh my gosh!
What's up, guys? What's up?
What's going on, man? How you been, man? You doing everything okay over there?
Doing so. I mean, come on, man. I'm in Selma, California. It was like 75 degrees out today, and perfect. Doing great.
There you go. There you go. Guys, if you are watching the podcast, there's a little bit of a lag, but it's okay. It'll clean up later on tonight when I release it on YouTube. But first foremost, I want to say thank you to all our sponsors for sponsoring the show. We're having great co-host guests with us and great guests on the show like Pete here. Man, I don't even know where to start with Mr. Capella, but let's start with you telling us where you're from and your journey to becoming the voice of Silver Sonic, man. Go ahead. The mic is yours.
Cool, man. Yeah, thank you. Born and raised in central New Jersey, Middletown, Red Bank area. So if you've ever seen a Kevin Smith movie, him and I grew up in the same town in Leonardo, New Jersey. Yeah, so, you know, I came from good stock. And I may look like a handsome, handsome young man, but I'm old. And so I grew up when radio was a viable, or what I thought was a viable option for a career. So I went to school for theater, film, and radio, and got a job immediately after graduating college in New York at a big New York radio station, and realized that money that they were offered to pay me wasn't even enough to commute from New Jersey to New York and still make a profit. So I leaned into some other job while I was pursuing acting full time. And because I had this radio experience, I immediately did a voiceover reel. And I was lucky enough that was when the internet was coming into its own as a casting tool. And so I put my voiceover reel up on the internet on New York Casting at the time.
Right.
And got in with 4Kids Productions, who was doing Pokemon, Yu-Gi-Oh, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. They were doing all the big ones. And so I would go in there and they would bring me in weekly, and I would audition for the best stuff, and I would never get it they had me. Yeah, it was very, you know, and that's what being an actor is. You know, you go in for all these auditions, and I think I was auditioning for a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle bad guy one day.
Okay.
You know, and they always had me coming in for these big, big, big voices. And on my way out the door, and I'm not even joking, like I was like out the door. And they were like, "Hey, Pete, you want to try this 14-year-old hedgehog?" And I was like, "Well, yeah, of course I do." And that's the one I got. And which is like, you know, all these other guys were down here. And then all of a sudden, this is the guy I got who's like way up here.
Wow.
And the rest is history. That was like 2005, I think that happened.
Yeah. That's awesome, man. I mean, consider the fact, I mean, when they did offer you the part, I mean, did you at first, what was your initial reaction to that? I mean, like, 14-year-old hedgehog, how am I going to come up with this vocal? How am I going to figure this out?
Yeah, you know, what's funny is like, you know, I've continued to train my voice. Like I take voice lessons. I do the right things. But at the time, I'm 20 something years old, man. I'm a kid. I'm not taking care of my voice. I'm doing all the things that wreck your voice, including, you know, drinking and whatever else. I remember exactly where I was. I was in my apartment at the time. I had this I was living with my then girlfriend, and my sister lived in the same apartment. And I got this phone call. I was upstairs, and I was just stunned that I got it. And I didn't fathom how big of a thing it was yet. You know what I mean? Like, I just didn't grasp, like, this is going to change your career trajectory. Because, you know, it was just the most, that's such a huge deal to be part of this franchise, which is internationally loved by millions and millions of people. And then we were recording in I believe it was winter. If not, I just remember I was really sick. And so another challenge to do this higher voice, it was that, like, I was deathly ill, and I was like, I can't not show up. Like, I'm going to be there. So I was like living on tea and honey the entire time. And, you know, just, there was a Starbucks below the 4Kids Studios, you know, offices. And so I would like religiously just be down there before my recordings, just chugging hot tea.
Wow. So you were constantly trying to keep your voice nice and healthy for all the what you had. All the, I don't want to say it out loud, but the drinking. Yeah, understandable. But so when your voice actually came out, the first game they were released on that, I mean, what was your reaction? Did anybody commend you for it? Like, oh my God, did people recognize you automatically, or did you have to show them, like, who you really were?
Yeah. So I think you guys will dig this. So first of all, the recording was so surreal because it was the first story-based Sonic game, right? It was Sonic 06. So first story-based game, and it was a phone book full of script. It was so much stuff. And we didn't get the script ahead of time. It was top secret, so we wouldn't get it until we got into the recording studio. And there was an American director and an engineer and then a translator and then three huge guys from Sega Japan who spoke no English.
Wow.
So every note that I got had to go from the American guy to the translator to the Japanese guy to the Japanese guys to the translator back to the director back to me. So it was like a really crazy, long, complicated process to record it all.
Right.
And then, yeah, man, when that game came out, I don't think it's until recently that I comprehend how big of an impact it had on people.
Right. I mean, consider the fact that, we met you, my son and I met you, I think it was back in February while we were out there. My son, Marcus, you and Jason were in town here in the RGB. Shout out to the Gamer Expo, I believe it was.
What a blast that was, huh?
Yeah,
I didn't get to meet you because I had my booth at the moment there. Yeah. So
we got to meet you personally. It's amazing how wholesome a person can be, humble, how a person can be when they meet their fans. And you were one of them, man. You were very humble to everybody that was coming and getting stuff signed.
Yeah, I got to tell you, man, I've never felt so blessed. You know, you do this thing. I did it almost 20 years ago and continued. I did 8 different games, but like you do this and, look, I'm out in LA. I'm a film and TV actor along with voiceover actor. So, and right. I've done over 3,000 theater shows, over 3,000 live shows. And so to me, like I'm pursuing this art and there's such an art in it all. So the last thing you think as an artist is like, you want to affect someone in some way, right? That's all any artist ever wants, a good one.
Yeah, exactly.
And you never would, I would never comprehend in a million years that it would be voicing this 14-year-old hedgehog that's had the most impact on people. Like mm-hmm. I've done Shakespeare. I've done films about suicide. And the thing that affects people the most is this young hero character. And it's just such an amazing blessing. That how can I not be humble? I am just every time I see a line in front of me with people that want to meet me, I there's been multiple times you can ask my wife where I've had to like turn around because I'm crying. Like I go, like, oh man, I'm tearing up here because it's just what a blessing it is to be in that position.
Right, yes. Right. That's awesome.
The impact that I mean you have on kids and kids becoming adults going into the future. It's
amazing. That's right. I'm going to tell you this funny little story. So we were just at Pensacon in Pensacola, Florida. And we got in the night before. And so my agent and I both like to play poker. And there's a poker room in Pensacola. So we went to the poker room and we were taking an Uber back. And the Uber driver is this gigantic linebacker of a man, dreadlocks. And I'm just sat in the back, like just quiet because this guy doesn't give a crap who I am. You know what I mean? Quiet in the back. And he said, "Hey, what are you guys doing in Pensacola?" And my agent is one of those guys who he has no filter. So his mouth just goes, "Oh yeah, we're here for the convention." Blah, blah, blah. And he's the best. He's so nice. It's like his best quality, you know?
Right.
So he's like, "Oh yeah, I'm an agent. And this is one of my actors and he's a voice actor." And I watched it kind of, again, we're in the back seat and he's like, "Oh, well, what did you voice?" And my agent said, "Oh, one of the characters in the Sonic the Hedgehog series." And I watched him go like this and he's shaking. And he's like, what character? And I was like, "Well, I was Silver the Hedgehog." And he just almost collapsed. And you don't think about this. And we were talking back and forth, but he messaged me the next day on Instagram and he said, "Hey man, I was abandoned as a child and your character is what got me through all of it." Wrote me this beautiful long letter. And, you just never know what the work you do, how it's going to affect people.
Yes.
Right. And it's funny that you say the same conversation we had on Tuesday. My brother and I, we got to interview Anthony Tyler Quinn. Big shout out to Mr. Turner from Boy Meets World. He said similar to what you're saying also, there's a lot of fans that they meet that I guess it's an impact in their lives at one moment. And you don't realize as an actor, as a voice actor or anything like that, it's something, I guess you can say it's like kind of like, not like, well, I would say like maybe like an accomplishment or something you did that you didn't know that you did, I guess, if that's the best way to explain it.
That's a perfect way to explain. Not only that, and I will readily admit to this, there were years where I tried to push this away. I'm in LA. I was young, 30 something. I was like trying to pursue this serious acting career. And so when people brought it up, I was like, yeah, fine. Yeah, whatever. I just, it's not what I want to be associated with.
Right.
Not knowing that like you could be associated with all the things and embrace all the work that you've done. I was just so stupid about it or cocky about it or ignorant about it, whatever it may be. But now I feel so lucky that people like really connected with that character. And then it was written so well. It starts with the writers, you know?
Right. Yeah. That commercial I pulled out, everybody was pretty impressed with the little commercial I pulled out. By the way, let you guys know I do not own the rights to that video that was out there. But
Sega, do not come.
Please, Sega, do not come back and sue me and reopen Sega all over again with my money. by the way, you're welcome, Pete. Yeah, I mean, the character itself, when I first saw Silver, I believe it was in the Mario Olympics.
Yes.
Where it was Sonic, Sonic versus Mario. And when I saw it, like, who's this guy? And I go, son, you can take Silver. I'm going to take Silver. I go, he seems pretty cool, man. And not only that, he floats. He's awesome.
That's
bro.
Right.
Yeah, and it was like there's so many characters in that little Sonic series in the video games. I mean, it's hard to believe that I know you only voice Silver, correct?
In the Sonic series, yes.
Yeah. So I mean, and not only do you do that, you also do a little bit of anime also, correct?
Yeah. Yeah, I was Dexter in Yu-Gi-Oh for a couple episodes.
Yeah, I read into that when we were there. My son and I were waiting to get him his picture signed from you, and I saw that like, oh wow, this guy did more stuff. This is awesome.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know when that's when I look back on it, that's why I can say like I was stupid about this stuff because I moved away from that. So I moved from New York to Los Angeles and 4Kids was still hiring me while I was out here. And I was, phoning in remotely and recording remotely. But I missed out on, I didn't realize how big anime was going to be or how long it was going to last, you know? Yes.
I don't think anybody.
No, of course not. Pokemon was a thing that my brother had the cards to, and I was like, well, he's 13 years younger than me. Who cares, you know? meanwhile, it's like the biggest.
Does he have a Charizard? Ever. That's all I want to know. Does he have a Charizard or any of the first
You know, I just went back home recently, and I was like, he's not obviously not home anymore either. And I was like, hey, dude, where are all your Pokemon cards? I want to go through them. And he's like, idiotically, he's like, I remember trading them away when I was a kid. Like,
what did you do?
I know, right? But it wouldn't be worth money if everybody had them. So that's, you know, that's what helped raise that value.
Yeah, I hear you.
Going back to Sonic, when you auditioned for the part, did you know about the character in general? Me as a Nobody video game guy.
So that was the
not about the franchise. I mean, like Silver, the franchise, right? As far as like,
like I knew Sonic, of course. So I'm one of the lucky people who, it's all I thought about when I was a kid was video games. So I had an Atari 2600, and then I had a Nintendo, and you know, I worked my way up the, you know, I played ColecoVision, like all of the things in between. So I had every version. So I went from, you know, Atari 2600 8-bit to then the 16-bit and the 32-bit. And then, so I loved video games. We would, I'm from the Jersey Shore, so there were arcades, and my uncles would bring me down to the arcade all the time. Yeah. So, you know, I never dreamed that I would be involved in it in any way. But yeah, of course, we had Sega, and I played Sonic all the time. And then going in, it's funny that you say the thing about the, you know, about knowing the character. I know you were referring to Sonic, but I went into that audition and they didn't know what the character was going to be. So they were like, hey, here's this 14-year-old hedgehog. He's kind of got a chip on his shoulder. He's coming from the future into the past to save his bleak future. And so I kind of channeled at the time. I had like a younger brother who had a chip on his shoulder. He went and joined the military.
There you go.
And so I used him a lot in thinking about, oh, what was he like as a kid? And what would this guy sound like? And yeah, so that's where that character came from.
Wow.
Dang. So, I mean, so you're saying that also that you not only do voiceovers and well, for anime and silver, you also do some acting also.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, a lot. I've been, you know, there's been multiple times where it was this close to like, oh my God, that guy in that big movie right there, that's the voice of Silver the Hedgehog.
There you go.
it is, but you know, acting, the pursuit of acting in Los Angeles is, you think that you're like, oh my goodness, I've never seen this actor before. He like broke so quickly, but that's never the case. It's people putting in years and years and years of work until they get their opportunity.
Yes, I got a fan here. My little brother's watching right now. He says, tell him to do Donatello for me so I can scratch it off my bucket list. That's what he said.
Dude, I wish I would ever have done Donatello.
Mirage Donatello.
There you go. That's what he's saying. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh man.
Yeah, but
I can't tell you how many times I auditioned for the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and didn't get it, and I loved the Turtles.
Really? I mean, that's all. I mean, being that it's already evolved so many years in the making, it's crazy. And now the whole thing going to what is the the actual comic book Rowan, I think
the Ronin books, yeah,
that's crazy, man. And I'm not gonna spoil it for anybody. You got to read into it to who the last turtle is, but it's crazy, you know, how we talk about that is that just like Sonic, I mean, years and years of it being in the market and people still talk about it, man. Mm-hmm. And that's what's so awesome. Yeah. That's
again
so awesome.
Good writing. It's good. It comes from good writing. That's, and you know, that's what and any good actor will tell you, we're just trying to do the work to bring the writing alive.
Right.
Yes.
Well, that's cool, man. And I know when I reached out to you, I had talked to you there at the con and I said, hey man, I got a podcast. I would love to have you on so we could talk to you and really get to know who you are, where you're from, and how it all started. And I said, you know what? I'm not gonna sound like a con geek or anything like that. I'm gonna wait a couple of days, and then I'll reach out to him and find out if he wants to do it or not. But
you know, I'm glad you did, because you gave me a piece of paper. I remember this specifically. You gave me a piece of paper with your phone number and information on it.
Yes.
And I looked for it when I got home, and I could not find it for the life of me. And I was like, damn, I really hope he reaches out, because he was cool.
This was meant to be there. This was, thank you so much.
Yes.
Thank you so much. You heard him say it himself. Super Sonic City, you're here. I got it on video. You heard it. That's cool. So when you go on the cons, are you always, because I know it looks like you and Jason are a tag team every single time. So do you all go together for every, in other words, do you come in a combo package?
we don't necessarily, but we like to. So okay. I've known Jason since we recorded that first game. We went to a con back in 2010 and really became good friends, but had an awful experience and swore off cons, and he is the reason why I'm touring again, because he got, you know, the same agent that I have now, he got in touch with Jason, and Jason was like, hey man, I got this, I was doing like a local thing, and Jason was like, hey, I have this convention agent, he really wants to talk to you. And I was like, dude, I'll do it if you're doing it. And so he's one of my best friends.
That's awesome.
You saw our text chain back and forth. It's nonstop all day, every day. My wife calls him my boyfriend.
Who better than that Sonic as boyfriend?
Yeah, right.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. But he's a genuinely great dude, and we just like to travel together. Like, you know, we both, I know this doesn't go over well in Texas, but we're both vegan. Or mostly vegan. So.
I'll do that Greek way. It's okay. I make you lamb. Don't worry about it.
But we love going out together.
That's good. That's good, man. That's a cool time having a workplace friend like that, man. If you all do the same series together, and you still hang out. That's beautiful, man. It's a cool relationship between the two friends.
Travel the world.
Yeah, travel the world. Out of all the con, right? I'm not putting you on the spot here, Pete. Not putting you a spot here, but about all the cons, where have you seen the most love, man? I mean, literally the most love that you've seen.
That's a really good question. Well, I will say the answer is going to be tilted in one way, because it's an unfair answer in that we did Sonic Expo in Dallas in November. Oh, wow. So it was Sonic themed. And so that means everyone was there to see us and only us. And so, you know, it wasn't as big as the con that I met you at, the Gamer Expo, which was awesome, by the way. I was blown away with how good that con was. I will go back anytime. The owner of that convention is amazing. The people are so kind and lovely there, honestly. But this con was about half the amount of people. And I mean, I watched them, I recorded it on my phone. Like, they were holding them up top, and there was a stairwell for them to come down. And I watched 1,500 people run down these stairs and into the room to meet us all. And it was really cool. Yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome, man. That's awesome. So, and as far as memorabilia goes, the people that a lot of these Sonic fanatics. I mean, is there anything in particular that you've signed? You're like, wow, I've never seen one of these, or something that
a gift that they give you.
Can I disappear off this for 1 second to show you the coolest gift that I've got?
Go ahead.
Give me 1 second. I'll be back in literally 10 seconds.
Go for it. Well, that's great. I mean, that's great knowing that he's going to bring us something so we can look at. But in the meantime, like I said, I want to thank everybody that's tuning in. I know the beginning of the podcast was kind of sketchy, but it's finally thinning out a little bit. I think there was just too many people trying to watch what was going on and trying to see Pete for the first time. Yeah, so
we got flooded
a little bit, but we're a small podcast. We're until we get those big towers out there where we can stream a bunch of stuff, then it's gonna look even better. Pete's already back. Hold on, Pete's already back. There you go. All right, Pete, go ahead. I'll put you on the big camera.
It's gotta be a big reveal. So I met this guy at Y2Con in Dallas. And he brought me this thing to sign, and I was so blown away by how cool it was. I was like, dude, what does it take to make this? And he's like, I'll be at Sonic Expo, and I'll bring you one. It is a 3D printed Silver the Hedgehog.
That is nice.
That is awesome, bro.
How dope is that?
Wow.
I mean, it took up half of my suitcase to get home, but it was well worth it.
Wow, worth dude. It. The time and effort cool, to actually right? make that wow. thing, man. Wow.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Yeah. Really cool.
Did you show it off to Jason? Look what I got.
Well, yeah, I did. And then he printed, I think, a Shadow one and a Sonic one for Jason to sign. But oh, I don't think he didn't get the gift.
He didn't get one.
He didn't get one. So we'll give you one point for Pete right there. 1 point for Pete for on that awesome gift from a fan. Oh my gosh! Like, do some of your fans when they come up to you? Do they? I mean, like you just told us about that one gentleman on the Uber on that Uber vehicle.
Heather, he almost crashed. Yeah, he almost crashed.
Almost crashed, and we might not have this interview. But but I mean, is there any other fans that have actually that's touched your heart that you know that have given you stories that you know? Wow, I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, too many. They're really. From people just breaking down and crying and talking about how, you know, mom and dad weren't there or whatever, to even just like, so there's one dude who I've now become friends with, and he's,
that's awesome.
He does like Silver the Hedgehog stuff, on YouTube, right? He's a YouTuber and he's on Twitter or whatever. And so I was like, well, what there's, he's not threatening my job. He's a fan and he's a good kid. Right. It's probably like in his early 20s or whatever, where I was when I was starting. And I wish I had someone to like kind of lead me through. So I was like, hey man, here's my info. Always touch base with me, whatever you need. We did an interview together. And then at each convention that I've seen him at, I saw him like 1 year and then he brought me this picture that he commissioned of Silver the Hedgehog, like wearing the exact Hawaiian shirt that I was wearing, wow. You know, when we met. And so like, it was just like lovely gestures where people are like, you know, you see you're making an impact on their life and they don't realize how much they impact mine as well. You know what I mean?
Right. Right. Exactly. Well, that's, I mean, beautiful. That's beautiful, man, to know that you know, you reaching out to these people in odd, weird ways that you don't know that you're affecting their lives, you know, and that's beautiful.
And
man,
I think that comes a lot from the gaming. I mean, me being a gamer,
absolutely.
Most my whole entire life kept me out of trouble. I mean, kept me off drugs, kept me off drinking, kept me off of, I mean, you name it. And
mine was totally opposite. Totally opposite.
But I mean, growing up, and I see it every day in my shop. I mean, we have kids that are like, oh man, I've been looking for this game since I was a kid. And finally I have it again. And this is what kept me out of trouble. And this is when my mom and my dad got divorced. And this is what got me through this and got me through that. And it's beautiful to hear that, man. And then they're passing that on to their kids. I mean, it's full circle. And yeah. I mean,
absolutely.
And then to meet their heroes, I mean, that voice, their favorite characters, like, it's amazing. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
As far as being a voice actor itself, I mean, if somebody was wanting to become a voice actor themselves, what would be the steps or what advice would you give for them to, you know, follow that dream to maybe one day be in a video game or in an anime cartoon? You know, what?
Because that's an upcoming thing. Everybody wants to do that now.
And now with the new technology that you have and stuff you can do on your own.
YouTubers, TikTokers.
Yeah, my son, a great example. He does voiceovers on his little cartoons and stuff. You know, the future entrepreneurs, man, as far as voice acting, what advice can you give them?
Two things. One, learn how to take care of your voice. You know, how to maintain it, how to correctly use it, how to speak from your diaphragm, how to not blow out your vocal cords.
Right.
That's one. Two, and this is the most important thing, in my opinion, is take acting classes, because everybody can do a funny voice of some sort. Everyone I know can do a funny voice. And when I say I'm a voice actor, they're like, oh, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, yeah, great. That's great. You can make that voice, but can you do that voice and bring it to life with the camera never being on you? So you're attempting to, you know, an actor can use his eyes, can use his body, can use, you know, everything, you know, his wardrobe, everything about the character.
Right.
Voiceover, I'm in a closet talking into a microphone, trying to bring this character to life. It's right. acting classes that taught me how to do that.
Right. Now, have you been offered, besides like I said, the animes that you've done before and the voiceover in the video games, have there ever been any offers for other, like, big companies? Like, I don't want to use the word, say the word, but like Disney or DreamWorks or
Nintendo
or, yeah, any other? Sure. I mean, have you reached out?
So I've done a lot of commercials, a lot of voiceover and commercials. So, like, I was the voice of Visa for a little while. I've done like other stuff like that. And then I have definitely auditioned for almost, not the movies, because they usually use a lot of celebrities, but as far as cartoons go, probably every big cartoon that you could possibly think of. You know, I've auditioned for a lot of stuff. But you got to remember, so did hundreds of other people. And there's just so many factors involved. There was a time, and I will not name the cartoon, but I auditioned for a cartoon. I thought I turned in a great audition. It was for the lead of the cartoon. It was, a Nickelodeon-based cartoon. A year later, I got a notice from my agent or an email from my agent. She said, "Hey, I have a voice match audition for you. Don't be mad." And I was like, "What are you talking about? Don't be mad." And I listened to it. And it was the one that I had auditioned for a year earlier. And the creator of the show essentially just took my voice and copied the character that I came up with.
Right.
And then was fired from the show. And so they wanted me to possibly take over. And then in the end, they didn't even hire me to do that. So. It's a brutal world out there sometimes. It is what it is, and that's what you sign up for when you're doing this. And it just takes one big break. Like, I got to like the second round of replacing Rick and Rick and Morty. Really? And like, that was something I never even thought of. My agent reached out to me and said, "Can you do this?" And I was like, "I don't think so." And I went into my booth. And I tried it, and I was like, "Wait, do I sound like Rick?" And there was a point where I was editing the audition together, and my wife was like, "I thought you were working," and I was like, "What are you talking about? I am working." And she's like, "No, you're watching Rick and Morty." And I was like, "Hey, that's me. That was my voice."
As research.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man.
That's crazy.
You have another question there?
I have 1,000 questions.
Go ask, man. Ask away.
1,000 questions.
Ask away. Come on now. Don't be scared.
I'm thinking about it. Games growing up, I mean, like, that you played besides the 26, or you still play to this day? When you have a downtime?
I don't have a system anymore because it was taking up too much of my time. So when my Xbox One got a red ring of death, I was like, "Okay, that's it. Like, just let it go."
Did we just become best friends right now, Pete? Did we just become best friends? Oh my gosh! Get out of here, PS4.
Yeah, I was an Xbox guy, though. I mean, the PS5 is so unbelievable now.
Okay, you lost me. You lost me, Pete. You lost
Sorry.
me. Sorry,
I want one really badly.
PS5 do not have rigged ring.
You know what, man? We can argue about this some other time.
We can.
But I will. So, like, even just from the beginning, I was always a Super Mario fan, like a Mario Brothers fan. I love all those games, specifically. Super Mario Brothers 2 and 3. I love them so much. I could always replay them. I think Mario Kart is awesome. Actually, I guess let me restate that. I did buy my wife a Switch. So we do have a Nintendo Switch in the house. I forget that is even here. I don't know. You know, I was a big Call of Duty player for a while. Mm-hmm. I loved Call of Duty. I loved Call of Duty for a couple reasons. Like I said, my brother joined the military. And he served in Iraq and Afghanistan, and you can't talk to them on the phone.
Right.
But they had Xboxes, and I had an Xbox. So we would get on, and we would play either FIFA or Call of Duty. And that's how I stayed in touch with my brother when he served overseas. So that's I just have a soft spot in my heart, which sounds so funny to have a soft spot in your heart for Call of Duty, like killing other people. But
hey, it's all good, man. Whatever. I'm a big Red Dead Redemption fan. Oh shoot, hello, yeah. You still there? Oh shoot, I'm what happened? Oh, my computer just went kapooey right now. What the hell? Wow, it's the podcast guys. They're doing something to my stuff. Anyways, we can still hear you. We can still hear
I
you.
I hear you too, but yeah, you're frozen on my screen.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell happened it's on my end. There we go. Here we come back. We're back. Give me a second. Let's see. Hopefully my camera's up and running. Let's see here. Give me one second. Jesus, man. What is up with my
internet
today? There we go. We'll use that one.
Yeah.
That was a little bit closer. There you go. We'll do that one right now. So, well, cool. I almost lost you there, Pete. Sorry.
All good.
So, I was going to say, I'm a big Red Dead Redemption guy. I was really into Rockstar and the Rockstar game, man. Grand Theft Auto and all that good stuff. I really got into that. But that's cool. I'm glad that we're getting to talk with you, man, because I know you have a busy schedule. Lord knows you were busy today. I know we had scheduled it for 7:30, and you told, hey, man, can we push it back? I go, you know what? Anything for you, man. You're doing us a favor to come on here and talk to us. And I got no problem. Even if it was had to be a change of a day, I would have done it for you. Not a big deal. I mean,
appreciate that. But I appreciate you having me on, man. Like you. When you came up to my booth, you and your son were just so kind and so lovely, and that was a constant at that convention of just like nonstop friendly, lovely people. And I've never been to a border town in Texas. Like really? I've never been anywhere near. Yeah, I'm just not in my wheelhouse. You know what I mean? Like I'm mm-hmm. from New Jersey, so I'm from the Northeast. I live in Los Angeles. So I even have family in Dallas, but like that's nowhere even close.
Right.
So I didn't know what to expect, and what a just lovely group of people who just embraced us the entire time. It's really cool.
Number one question. Wait,
what are you going to ask them?
We're going to ask the same question.
Maybe.
Food.
Food, yeah. Where did you go eat when you came down? Was it a Mexican restaurant or was it just a
regular
tacos?
We trying to remember what we did we had tacos for lunch and they were awesome. I don't remember what they gave us, but they were really, really good. And then Jason and I went to a Japanese place that was really fantastic, actually. I don't know. I don't remember what it was called, but we had really good food.
Some
sort of noodles and like, it was really good.
You don't have to mention the restaurant and they're not sponsoring the podcast. So that's a whole different story. So, they pay my bills, Pete. But that's awesome, man. Cause I mean, a lot of the voice actors or celebrities that come down, that's the first thing we ask. I go, what did you have when you were here? A lot of people say, well, they brought me a taco from the convenience store down the street or they brought us tamales or some gentleman brought me a small bowl of menudo. I'm like, wow, that's crazy.
You're going, you yeah, we're well known like for our food down here.
Yes.
And, as I mean, you yeah, can tell. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
As you can tell. So, but yeah, man, home fitting food, home loving food, man. It's food for the soul.
Yes.
But so on your time, besides now what you were saying about no game time that you have on your time off, what are your hobbies? What do you like to do?
That's a good question. Well, you can see there is my quiver of surfboards. So I love surfing.
There you go.
Love surfing. I play guitar.
There you go.
And sing a little bit. So, you know, yeah, just anything that makes me, I'm big in, my wife is a meditation teacher. I've become big into meditation. It's changed everything for me.
That's
just
good.
Learning
That's
to slow down. I'm Italian from Jersey, dude. So it was always like hustle, 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 hustle.
Yeah,
and so
just
learning to just stop and breathe for a little while is nice. And you know, just spending time with the family.
Nice.
Quick question. Another one I wanted to ask you. I know the Sonic series of the movies is the Hollywood, how they've turned around base and everything, and they have, I don't think they've released yet who is going to be the voice of Shadow. I don't know if they've
done it. I know on the next one,
but if asked for, I know there's got to be a Sonic 4. If asked,
hopefully
hopefully. Crossing my fingers here. If asked, would you do the silver part?
Cross everything, dude. Of course I would. I mean, in a heartbeat. And like, here's the thing. If they did it, that's a whole movie, because the plot of Silver's story, it's served up on a platter as a film. A hedgehog coming back to the past to kill Sonic, and then learning that he was duped and teaming up with Sonic to beat the bad guys. Like, that, the movie's built in right there. So it would. I don't know if they would come to me, because it would be a major, major role. But man, would I take it right away.
Hell yeah! I think you should. You should aim for that. I think you should start writing it right now.
I agree.
What's your opinion when you first saw the first Sonic movie, when the CGI and the
I loved it, man. Well, obviously the bad Sonic, that CGI that came out. I'm starting to believe. Here's my theory. I'm starting to believe that they did it on purpose.
To create
buzz about the movie, and then went to the fans and said, "Help us redesign." But they already knew what they were going to do. That's just. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if that's true, but I would be really smart if they did that.
I think so too.
That said, I love the movie. I think they're great, and I think it welcomes in a brand new age group of Sonic fans.
Yeah. Yes.
And anybody talking about Sonic is even just on a selfish level, is helpful to us, because it just keeps us in the spotlight. But they're really well done. I mean, Jim Carrey, you don't get better than that. Yeah. So,
Dr. Robotnik.
Dr. Robotnik, man. He plays one hell of a villain, man.
Yeah.
It's awesome, man. So, as far as venues coming up, where can the fans reach out to you so they can go see you in person? Anything big coming up for you guys?
So I'm going to be in Texas 3 times in the next month.
Wow.
So I'm going to be in Dallas next weekend, the last weekend of March, for WeebCon, which is a big one. I think there's something like 30,000 people at WeebCon. And then I'm going to be in New Braunfels between Austin and San Antonio, I think. That first weekend of April for a convention there. And then the following weekend, I'm going to be in Midland, Texas. So a lot of Texas coming up.
That's good.
All over Texas.
That's perfect. That's good.
I don't think people know how big Texas is. We're going to be there 3 times, and none of them are close to each other.
No, right. You don't know, hours away from each other. You don't know what it feels like to live down here in the RGB and trying to drive out of Texas. You don't know.
That's good.
It's a 6 hour drive.
It's like almost to get out of Texas about at least 10 hour drive.
Yeah,
I've driven from here to South Dakota, and took me 24 hours just to get to South Dakota straight. So, man, that drive is—it's a drive, Pete. It's a drive. So, Pete, first thing I want to say is thank you. I don't want to take too much of your time. I know we're 42 minutes into the podcast already. And time flies when you're having fun and having a great conversation with you. First and foremost, I always believe first impressions are the best impressions, and speaking to my son the way you did that day, welcoming him in. I mean, humble. It was awesome. He was very comfortable. I had never seen my son so comfortable in some place like that, especially with the Sonic characters there. Mm-hmm. He was like in La La Land I think we were like there for like about 4 hours, 5 hours. And he loved it, every minute of it. I want to say thank you for taking the time and the patience to with all of us that go and see you guys come down and sign autographs for us, man. We do appreciate that.
Sure.
Don't cry, Pete.
I appreciate it more than I know. I appreciate it more than you do. Believe me. This fandom changed my life, man. I was, as an artist in Los Angeles, someone pursuing acting, you're going to be a bartender or a server at some point. And I did that. I did that grind for so long. And then all of a sudden, this is now my job. My job is I get to meet people whose lives I've affected, and it doesn't get any better than that. It's the coolest thing ever.
Yeah. I know Lalo is working on something. It's at the end of the month. You got somebody coming down, correct?
In 2 weeks, we have Stephanie Nadal, which is a voice actor for Team Gohan.
Cool.
She's always hustling, trying to women all over the United States getting gigs. So
yeah,
and she tells me the stories. I mean, same stories as yourself. I mean,
yeah,
being humble by, I mean, Dragon Ball Z is one of the biggest franchises. I mean,
yeah.
In the world,
even more huge now that the actual
the creator
is no longer with us. I mean, God rest his soul. But yeah, I know. You wanted to reach out to Pete also. Maybe one day, probably have you come down.
Send you a retro console up there, a Sega console.
There you go.
Absolutely. Hey, man, you let me know. Has my contact, dude. You can hit me up anytime.
Yes, sir.
I say a bigger shoe. Send him a bigger shoe. Yeah. I think that if you take him a big shoe.
I don't know, dude. This is pretty big. It's the size of my head.
I don't have to compete with that.
Maybe the console might work.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Mr. Capella, I appreciate you, man. I appreciate everything you do for the fans and for all of us here in the RGV. You came down to visit everybody in the U.S. and over the world.
Hopefully we can bring you down again.
Yeah.
Pretty soon.
I honestly, anytime. I can't wait. I came home and told my wife, I was like, this place was awesome. I've never been there. What a great part of the country. You guys are really, you know how to treat people, and that yes. I appreciate.
Thank you. I appreciate that. You saying that. That's coming straight from Pete. I love that. I'm saying it correct, right? Capella?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Can you imagine? If he wouldn't have been a voice actor, you'd probably have been somebody like in the family. He goes, you're in trouble. We're going to talk to the dog. Who's that? Capella. That's a scary name.
If you trace my family history back, you're not far off.
Well, there you go.
I'm Italian from New Jersey, man.
That's what Lalo was saying right now.
That's what I was saying right now. I was like, that's New Jersey,
yeah, man. So people be scared. Be very scared. No, Pete, I appreciate you, man, for everything you do for us. And like I said, your voice will linger in our ears for the years to come. And it's only an imprint in every person who plays the Sonic series, man. And we appreciate everything you do. Thank you very much.
Thank you,
appreciate it.
Thank you.
Any last words for your fans that you want to reach out to them and say anything in pertaining something to connect with them? Go ahead. The mic is yours.
Hey, guys. Thank you. That's all I can say from the bottom of my heart. Thank you, and I love you. We got to normalize everyone telling each other that they love them, because we've been through some dark times. So just know that the Pete Capella voice of Silver the Hedgehog loves you.
There you go. There you go, man. It put you back. There we go. All right. I lost my thing here, man. I'm going crazy right here trying to control. I feel like I'm command controlling everything here, man.
I don't have anything. My hands are free.
No kidding. Oh, my gosh. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the end of our podcast tonight. I want to say thank you to Pete Capella coming on with us, man. I know we had a little bit of hiccups here and there with the audio video, but it came out perfect. I'm going to work on it, do my best. Trust me, Pete, I will send you the copy as soon as it's done up and ready on YouTube, man. Lalo, thank you for coming out.
Last minute. I rushed over here.
He flew out here, man. He was his own Sonic on his truck. I don't know how many people he ran over, but he got here.
I didn't run over nobody.
No? All right. No. Well, at least the cameras didn't catch it. But anyways, I appreciate man coming out, man. Have a time, man. Appreciate you coming out. And guys, don't forget, look forward to April. What was it again?
April 6th.
April 6th. So be out there, get some autographs over at Lalo's place. Press Start Gaming in Edinburgh, Texas, guys. Look him up on Facebook, Instagram, and all that good stuff. And who knows? The man right here might be in the neighborhood also in a couple of months down the line. Might work something out and see if we can get them out here also.
We'll stay in contact, Pete.
Yes, sir. Pete, thank you very much. Don't go anywhere. Let me close out the show, Pete. Give me 1 second, all right? Cool.
Sounds good. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you once again for tuning in. We will see you next week. We got Hugo Gambino, a local who won a cook-off on live television, man. He represented the RGV, bro. He made a good dish. We're going to have him come in next week on the podcast. I hope he can bring us something. Bring a skillet.
Oh, I forgot
to tell you. The only reason Chew's not here, supposedly, there's a gentleman who won the lotto, $1 million here in the RGV, and it was Chew. Chew won it. He said he's going to cut off the other leg and become half cyborg. But that's a whole different other story, different other podcast. So, guys, like always, Lalo, thank you very much again. Guys, again soon. I will see you out there April 6th.
Yes.
And, ladies and gentlemen, like always, guys, tune out every day, every time we finish a podcast.
Latest Gators! Oh,
Sammy.